Welcome to .NET Conf, focus on Windows. We are super excited to bring you another event that's focused primarily today on Windows desktop. So I'm Scott Hunter, and I'll be here with Alia and Dimitri from the team. And we're gonna show a lot of cool stuff. You know, I work as a director of program management at Microsoft on .NET. And if you want, you can follow me at CoolCSH. But let's get into all this stuff. Over the years, we have built a variety of things from desktop to mobile to web that you can build with .NET. Between the team and the community, we have built an amazing framework. And what's amazing about it is you can take the skills from one of these and transfer them to any of these other application types. So if you start off as a web developer and you want to build a mobile app, all those skills transfer. And it's one of the benefits of .NET is this awesome tooling and the ability to scale between these things. What's even cooler is we have a unified platform. You know, whether you're building any of these things, they all build on top of the exact same libraries. They use the exact same compilers, the exact same languages. We have an amazing suite of tools. In Visual Studio, Visual Studio for Mac, Visual Studio Code, or the command line. You can build all these things in .NET with all of those. But today, we're gonna focus on Windows desktop, just one of these workloads. We do a lot of these .NET Conf events, focusing on a variety of these, but today we're gonna focus on desktop and talk about all the cool enhancements we have in that space. Now, how's .NET? We have over 5 million active developers using .NET every day in the Visual Studio family of tools. We shipped .NET Core around March of 2017, and since then we've had over 2 million of our developers move to .NET Core or come on brand new to .NET to .NET Core, building their applications. Now, as I said, we're focusing on desktop today, and WinForms and WPF. In the short time that we've actually added support, starting with .NET Core 3, to .NET Core and .NET 5, we've already brought 260,000 developers on board with this. And this is just showing the popularity of building these desktop applications or moving them from a .NET framework to .NET Core to take advantage of the new capabilities. And so it's a super healthy platform. You know, we could not do this without the help of the community. We could also not do this without the help of a lot of our wonderful vendors that support us. And on this slide, you can see that we've got DevExpress, Grape City, Infragistics, Telerik, Syncfusion. These are all vendors that are building amazing tools that you can use on WinForms, WPF, or Blazor. And so many of these support the work we're gonna show today. You know, as we've started adding more designer support, these folks are all building their tools and making them show up in there as well. So, but I have to give a great hand of applause to these people. They make our platform better. The fact you have these great tools, you know, built outside of Microsoft. And as I said before, we also have tons of communities as well in the open source world that live on top of .NET as well. Let's talk about .NET 5. We just shipped this in November of last year, and it brought some amazing enhancements to the platform. First off, we'd already brought the desktop workloads in .NET Core 3.1, but we've added support for click once, and a variety of other things in this release, and we're gonna focus on those today. We added Windows ARM 64 support. So you can build a .NET application, and that application can run on a Surface X and some of the other devices that run ARM. And you'll see more there as well. And then a big thing is, we've been trying to make your applications smaller and faster, and so we've got this great support for single file applications that don't require .NET to be on the machine at all. And we've been shrinking our container images for your microservices too. Tons of web and cloud investments across ASP.NET and Blazor, and amazing. The key tenet that we try to tell our .NET customers, if you live on .NET, you're gonna get the best performance. And so most of the tech and power benchmark improved by about 30% across the board. And we hope to do that again in .NET 6. And then of course, amazing brand new language features across C# and F#. So let's talk about upgrading to .NET 5. You know, our goal with .NET has been to basically take the best of .NET Framework and the best of Xamarin and merge them together into a single unified platform. We want to give you flexible deployment, making it very easy for you to decide, you know, what bits you want to put on the machine. You control it, not Windows. We want to give you that amazing performance I just mentioned before. If you build on .NET, you're going to get the best performance you're going to get on any platform. And this is going to help you reduce infrastructure and hosting costs. You know, inside of Microsoft, we have moved many of our internal tools and some of the public tools to this technology and actually saves considerable money. And of course, you always get, you know, modern language features and great APIs and stuff like that. So we're always making the actual underlying platform better. Now, if you're a Windows developer, what's new and what's great for you? And, you know, why would you move a WinForm or a WPF application to .NET 5? Well, first off, you get a great developer experience in Visual Studio. We've been bringing the WinForm designer and the WPF designers to this technology. We've also been enhancing them. And you'll see some demos later today where we show how we've really enhanced those things. If you're building a desktop application, the problem with .NET Framework was there was only one on the machine, and you had to actually, the fear would be that, you know, a patch Tuesday would happen and a Windows update would happen and the version would change out from under you. With .NET 5, this is no longer a problem, because .NET 5, you can make a self-contained exe. That means all your app needs is inside that exe. It can carry its own .NET with it. We can have multiple .NETs side by side on the machine, so you don't have to worry about being upgraded to another one. We have click once. To make a simple click once installation, you click a link, the app installs, it updates every time you launch it. We've brought that to .NET 5. You, of course, get the latest C# and F# features as well, and you get modern web controls like WebView 2. So if you want to host a browser inside of your .NET application, now you can use the new Chromium-based Edge for your application. And there's, you know, I just showed that slide earlier. There's an amazing, you know, pile of tools and controls from our third parties. Now, in the past, it's been hard to upgrade one of these applications, and we're going to make that better. So I'm happy to announce a preview today of what we're going to call a .NET Upgrade Assistant. And what this is going to do, it's a guided step-by-step experience to help you move your application forward from .NET Framework to .NET 5. And our goal here really is, you know, we know it's challenging, especially if you've got a solution with multiple projects. To upgrade that, you have to work across all the different projects. This will handle that solution. And it also supports all the application types you would expect. It supports ASP.NET, it supports WinForms, it supports WPF, console applications, libraries. And in the future, maybe we'll even be able to do some things around WCF and WebForms as well. And you can go grab this today from our GitHub right here at aka.ms/.net-upgrade-assistant. And we're going to demo this in a second. So let's talk about Windows Forms on .NET 5. Now, I was super excited when we blogged about this in December. We've done some amazing performance improvements in WinForms. So just moving a WinForms application from .NET Framework to .NET 5, you're going to see considerable improvements here. If you look at the slide, you can see that we've reduced the allocations per redraw significantly in .NET 5. So your WinForm application will render faster on the screen. It will use less memory. We've added Visual Basic support. We know a lot of you have WinForms applications that are used that are built in Visual Basic, and so we brought that support along with you. We've actually added a new control from the community to the platform, and we've updated many of the existing controls with new capabilities. I mentioned click once. We're going to demo and talk about that in a second. You can use WebView 2 in these applications. We always want to make our technology as accessible as possible. We've got improvements there. And then for third-party designer support, there's an SDK. And we are about to RTM that SDK in the next minor release of Visual Studio. And when that happens, you're going to see a lot more of those designers for WinForms show up from those control vendors. And with that, I want to invite Alia from the team on, and she's going to show us some of these amazing enhancements that we have in WinForms today.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Scott. My name is Alia Gavrish. I'm Senior Program Manager on .NET team, and today I will show you some demos related to desktop on .NET 5 improvements. So My most favorite one is performance improvement. And I will show you same app doing same task, but in the first case, this app will be targeting .NET Framework, and then it will be targeting .NET 5. You probably remember this application. We showed it a few years ago when we just announced that WinForms and WPF will be supported in .NET Core. And what this app does, it analyzes the usage of your disk, of your memory. So I will just provide a pass to my disk all, click run, and here you go. It shows that the most memory is used for code, then not so much for documentation, and so on. At the bottom of this app, you can see that it took framework version 466 seconds to execute the task. Now I'm going to take exactly the same application. Not a single line of code was changed for it, but this app is built on top of .NET 5. So you already can see one improvement. It's a new file dialog. And I'm going to run. Here you go. On .NET 5, it took only 111 milliseconds compared to 466, almost 5 times improvement. And that is available because we have a new enumeration APIs on .NET 5 that don't exist on .NET Framework. And that makes all I/O, like disk I/O, HTTP I/O, regex I/O, much, much faster on .NET 5. Another thing I want to point out here that this app is using third-party pie chart, and we're working with all control vendors to make sure that their controls are available on .NET 5 and future versions of .NET. So many great improvements, many reasons to port your application from framework to .NET 5. And in my next demo, I want to show you how you can do that with a new tool that Scott just talked about called Upgrade Assistant. I wanted to find the old application, really old app, and bring it to the new platform. And I found this amazing app written by Scott Hanselman that is called Baby Smash. He wrote it for babies to teach them how to type on the keyboard. So let me run this app. Let me know if you can hear Scott Baby Hanselman.
Smash. What'd you say?
Baby Smash.
Baby Smash.
So this is the app. Once the baby types on the keyboard,
B,
letters appear on the screen.
W,
and
B,
there is a word.
T-R-E-tree.
Letters go together, and it has absolutely amazing smiley
heart,
shapes
pink
of
square,
different colors.
If this app
runs on .NET Framework version 4.8, let me make sure I'm going to go to Properties. And here you can see target framework, .NET Framework 4.8. So I'm going to use Upgrade Assistant to port it to .NET 5. And Upgrade Assistant, it's an open source tool available on the GitHub at aka.ms/upgrade-assistant, or this is the full link. So you can read how to install it, how to use it. It's very easy. It's a global tool. So I already have it on my machine. And I'm just going to bring up console and type upgrade assistant and provide the pass to my solution. Then I click enter and the tool will tell me what are steps that it has to do in order to port to .NET 5. The first one is backup project. And it's always a good idea, but just for demo purposes, I'm going to choose command 3, skip to the next step. Second one, convert project file to SDK style. And I already cheated. I already had my project in SDK style. But later today, we will have session completely devoted to porting applications to .NET 5 with Upgrade Assistant by Cassie Sullivan. And there she will walk you through all the steps. She will show you the full version of this migration and explain what possible obstacles and complicated cases you might face and how to deal with them. So I'm going to move to the next step, update TFMs. I will choose one, apply next step, and TFM stands for target framework moniker. So there is a place in our project file that specifies which framework our app should target. Is it .NET Framework or .NET 5? And this updates my project file from .NET Framework to .NET 5. and this step is done. And the next one is update NuGet packages. So I'm also proceed with one, apply this task. My application was built on .NET Framework, so it was using packages built for Framework. The tool looks for the latest version that supports .NET 5 and upgrades my references to .NET 5 NuGet packages. And now the last, some steps are applicable for web applications only, so the tool just skips them because my application is WPF. And the last one is disable unsupported configuration sections. I'm going to apply this step, and what happens now, the tool looks at configuration sections. If there is something that is not supported on .NET 5, it's going to comment it out. All right, it seems the tool is...
So that was pretty cool. And just like a few, maybe a minute or two, you were able to convert your project file, retarget your application from .NET Framework to .NET 5, fix up your NuGet references, and you literally took a 13-year-old application that Scott Hanselman wrote and have converted it to .NET 5.
Right. Yes. So let's look at properties now. Here you go. Now it targets .NET 5. And let me run the app, see if it works fine. All right, it works great.
Book. 10 square yellow triangle.
Excellent.
So Alia, what would you do if you wanted to get this app? What if I wanted this application? How would you get this application from your computer to my computer? How would we make that work?
Absolutely, we can publish it. How about I publish this application using ClickOnce? And we added support for ClickOnce in .NET 5 because we heard your feedback loud and clear that you absolutely want this deployment method to be on the future versions of .NET platform. So let me go ahead. And because I just upgraded my project from outside of Visual Studio, I will reload it, make sure everything builds. And I do right-click publish, edit the configuration.
So there it goes.
Yes.
Actually, that screen's not coming up, but what I'll tell you is, so what Ali would have done is she would have right-clicked on there, and it would have brought up the ClickOnce dialog box. And from the ClickOnce dialog box, it's actually got the same things you would have always had in that dialog box. And what we actually did is we said we're going to put this on the web. So we changed the install folder to be a URL, in our case, to an Azure storage account running as a website. And then she went through and actually went and clicked and selected that she wanted, you know, one of the features I talked about in the earlier slides was you can do what we call a self-contained version of the application. A self-contained version means we actually put .NET into the application along with your code. And this means you can actually deploy the application to a computer. Here's the dialog box here. Let's just skip down to the bottom there, Alia, where it goes to configuration.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, thank you so much for talking through. And this is the difference in .NET 5 for ClickOnce. There are available two different methods of deployment. One is .NET Framework, and that's the same way how you deploy your .NET Framework application. Your application will depend on the version of .NET that is installed on your client machine. But also, we have a self-contained method that will package my framework, in my case, it's .NET 5-Windows, with my application. And that will give me a chance to be completely independent on configuration on my client machine. So Scott, do you have .NET 5 on your machine?
I do not. So let's switch back to my machine. Because at this point, Ali has published this and we cheated a little bit. Last night, we copied this up to an Azure storage account. And what I want to do is I want to do a couple things here. So here's my machine. And on my machine, I'm going to run .NET --info. And that's a command that basically will tell me what versions of .NET I have on my machine. And you can see here, I only have 3.1 on my machine. I'm behind the curve here. I've not actually upgraded my machine to .NET 5, but she just built that app using .NET 5. So first off, if I go to my browser Let's go here. Here I am in my browser, and I am on the URL that we published that application to. It's actually live, so you could actually hit it if you want, but we'll probably take it down later today. And we created a web page, Baby Smash, and this shows the typical click once web install. But one thing that's noticed here is it doesn't require anything else on my machine. And that's because Alia made this application a self-contained application. So if I click the install button, that's going to go and download the setup.exe that you see right here. Here it is on my machine. And we'll just go and show it in folder. Here it is. And you can see it's a 509K installer. And I'll just double click the installer. And now you see that I've got Baby Smash running on my computer. And it says up here, it's running on .NET version 5. You know, just like Alia showed.
Orange square, purple triangle.
I have it running on my machine. So it's that simple to take a .NET application, a WinForms application, or a WPF application, package it up. In my case, put it up on the web, make it self-contained so it does not require any .NET on the computer, and that easily we can get this running. So thank you, Alia, for those awesome demos, and I hope people got excited by that. And we'll move on, and we can talk about a few more things. WPF on .NET 5. So, you know, just like we showed with WinForms, you know, there's a bunch of benefits you're going to see there. You're going to see those performance benefits. You're going to see the click once benefits that we've added. And once again, you can see here, we've also done a bunch of improvements in the Visual Studio family of tools as well. Probably the biggest one is XAML Hot Reload. And this is an improvement where we let you change your XAML after the app is actually running. You don't have to stop and restart and stop and restart. You can live change the XAML and we'll update the app in real time. We've got some amazing cool tech here as well that'll figure out data binding failures and let you know about them much easier, take you right to the spot in your code the problem's at. So we're trying to make it easier to get those kinds of diagnostic things. But I don't want to spend too much time on this slide. I want to really jump over to Dimitri, who's going to show us some of these amazing improvements in WPF on .NET 5.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott. I'm excited to have an opportunity, folks, to show you some of our new XAML tooling features, just like Scott said. So today's demos are focused on WPF and .NET 5, but I just want to let you know that in most cases, these features will work for most XAML app framework applications. So if you're building WinUI, UWP, or XAML forms, try these tools out as well. They're available for you. All right, let's get going. So first, the thing that I have open right now is an app that demonstrates your XAML data binding failure experiences. This app works actually, this scenario actually works for all XAML developers, but it works best with .NET 5. So let me jump in and show you exactly what I mean. So here's an application that has only one purpose in life. It's to fail in terms of XAML bindings. And how traditionally would you know that XAML bindings are even failing in your application? You'd have to go ahead and scroll up in your output window, and you'd have to find one. So here I am scrolling through, and you know, I might have not looked, so I could have easily missed these binding failures. In fact, I could have found these four, but maybe I'm missing a bunch more that are sort of above as well. Not the best experience if we wanted to make that better for you. So let me show you how we're doing it. First of all, we've added an in-app toolbar icon. This icon shows you that at least one XAML binding failure has occurred in your application that's running. The way you know that is because the icon turns red. And we even give you the count of how many bindings have failed. So as your app is running, you can see if the count's increasing. But what if you prefer not to use the in-app toolbar, or you're a XAML forms developer and you don't have an in-app toolbar? No problem. We've added the same icon to the live visual tree. So the live visual tree will show you that at least one binding has failed by turning red. And if you put your mouse cursor over it, will tell you how many bindings are failing. So that's another way you can see what's going on. But it's one thing to know that a XAML binding is failing, and it's another to get detailed information. And as you saw before, I'd have to go back to the output window in order to do that. So we've improved things by adding a special window called the XAML binding failures dialog. So this window shows you all the XAML binding failures, and it does it in a way that is very modern. It's a grid. You can sort it. You can filter it. You have rows and columns that really let you dissect the data exactly the way you want it. And we even help you out a little bit by cleaning up the data. So we group things. If your error in your XAML binding failure is happening over and over, and it's the same exact error because of, let's say, a template generating, we combine it automatically. And of course, you can uncombine it if that's what you want. And it's a very rich experience. So let me show it to you. You can scroll through it. You can expand if there's exceptions with stack traces. You could look at all the rows and columns, and you can customize everything. You can customize which columns are shown. You can group them together, everything you would expect from like a modern user interface. And we can even let you reset it in case something goes wrong. One of my favorite features is search. So if I want to see all the binding failures related to color, I can just type color, and there you go. You can see my search filtered down to all the failures that are color related. But let me show you my favorite feature. I have a lot of favorites. My favorite feature is the navigate to source code. If you see this icon, oops, let me zoom in here. If you see this icon next to your row, that means there's source information available. And we added this starting with .NET 5. So clicking on here will take you exactly to the file and to the row where your XAML binding failure is occurring. This used to be really hard. You'd have to search. And now we make it super easy by taking you straight to the file. Now, the one thing we're not doing yet is taking you to the exact place in the row where it's failing, but we're going to add that in the future Visual Studio version. So that's XAML binding failure experience. All right, next, I'm going to move on to a second feature that I wanted to show you. And this app demonstrates our new design time data using dcolon. This concept was actually originally added for Xamarin Forms developers, but we've made it work for all XAML developers and definitely works for WPF .NET 5 folks. Let me jump in and show you the app. So let me switch over. Here's the design time app. So what is this application? I'm going to start it first and show you what happens when you're first building an app. This is pretty real world. It happened to me all the time where you have an application, you're starting to design it, but you don't have any view models. You don't have any data coming back in. You're just trying to build the user interface. And the app at that point is going to be very, very empty. So here's my application. I'm going to move it to the right screen here so you can see it. And moving through the tabs, it's completely empty. I mean, I have no data. It's just really hard to imagine what this UI looks like because there is no data for us to look at. So what we've done is made it super easy for you to add design time data to your application. And we've done that with this concept of dcolon, where by having dcolon available on properties and for controls, you can mock almost anything in your XAML. So here, as you see, my application designer is much richer than the runtime app. I have information in my text boxes. I have information in my rich text box. If I click here, I have my list views and my data grid filled out. I have my button states imagined to certain configurations. I have an image placeholder and other stuff like calendars filled out, dates selected, progress bars indicated. And all of that is possible because of these dcolon properties. Let's take a look at one. So here's my text block. Text blocks with a binding. So this is very real world, right? You have a binding for your text block. But then this dcolon property makes it possible for you to see that I can add any text I want here, and it will only show up in the designer. This will never bleed through to your production app. Now, this is great, but you might ask yourself, Dimitri, this sounds familiar. Don't we already have design time data for XAML applications? And yes, you can still use the alternative approach of creating a mock view model. It's just a lot more work, and we think that this feature being independent of any design pattern choices you might be making. And because it's so easy to get started, you can just come in to any control. You can start typing dcolon, and all of your properties will come up. If you wanted to mock a control, if you type dcolon, you can just start typing the name of the control here. So all of that enables you to really get started super easily. We hope you give it a try. All right, let's switch back to the Baby Smash application for my last two demos. And this will let me also tie things back together. So here's the Baby Smash app that we were just looking at a second ago. And I'm going to talk to you in a second about what this new screen that I'm adding is all about. So what happened when I first looked at this demo? Unfortunately, there was just not a lot of XAML pages in this demo. It's a great app, but it's not super heavy, unlike traditional XAML with MVVM. And you might ask, what do you mean by MVVM? Well, MVVM is a very common way to build XAML applications. It stands for Model View View Model, and it's become the most common way people build WPF applications with XAML in the enterprise. And there's all sorts of open source libraries that make it easier. So for my purposes, I added something that's a splash screen. I really thought this app should have a splash screen. So I started putting it into the application. And in order to make it possible, I added a view, I added a view model, I added some entities, and I took dependency on an open source framework to make it all possible. So then I set my data context inside of the code file because this is pretty traditional, right? So going back to XAML here, let's see what magic I can show you. The first thing is IntelliSense. One thing that this app right now doesn't have, the way it's constructed with NVVM, is IntelliSense. So if I go to my binding, and if I'm typing binding path equals to, I'm not getting any completions whatsoever. So yes, I did have the right property before, but I'm not getting completions. So to get completions, we've added a brand new light bulb that adds a design time data context to your application. So once I trigger the light bulb, I could now go in here and I can say new property, and I can see that it's not on the list of unavailable properties, right? So I'm getting IntelliSense of what's actually there, but it's actually even more powerful because if I really wanted this new property to be created, this new IntelliSense works both ways. You can go back into the view model and we'll create that property for you automatically. And we respect the framework that you've selected from the MVVM perspective. Now, this works for properties and commands, and we're looking to improve it even further in the future. So getting this IntelliSense is really powerful. And again, it doesn't affect your running application because design time data context is a design time concept only. Now, this app has already been made better because of design time data. I would not have this image here. I would not have this dropdown filled out with data unless dcolon was available. And you can see how I do it here. I have a design time data context. I have a dcolon source for my image. And then for my combo box, I have a d combo box item that's allowing me to populate information so I can see what this will look like when the app is running. All right. So next, I'm going to go ahead and run the application and show you my last demo here. So running the application, you'll see two things come together from previous demos. Let's get this app up and running. All right. So instead of going straight into the application like you've seen with other demos, my splash screen will be the first thing that becomes visible. And the splash screen here is exactly what you saw in the design time view. I have a dropdown that lets me select which display the game will play on. Today, the game plays on all displays. I didn't like that. And then wait a second, I added an image here, but it's missing. Let me click on this data binding failure feature. And new property. I think I must have messed it up when I was showing you the demo. Right, I changed that. Oh, I can't see the app. Well, let me make the app topmost so I can see it. And this is XAML Hot Reload in action. XAML Hot Reload lets me change the app as it's running. So here's my running app, and it lets me fix the app. So let me go ahead and fix the bug that I added by changing out this property. Oh, there you go. Hi, Scott and friends. So as you can see, XAML Hot Reload is really powerful because you can fix bugs as you go. But it's something that I'll demo in my session later today in detail. But let me show you one last quick demo, which is if I remove all the XAML from this application and I put it back in, it actually works. Like, it's really that powerful, and it works great with XAML data binding. So I hope you can show up later for my session and take a look at this demo in more detail. Back to you, Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dmitry. It's always great seeing those improvements in the tooling around WPF. It's gotten so much better over the years. Totally. Thank you so much. Next, let's talk about the future of .NET Framework. We announced a while ago that .NET Framework 4.8 is the last major version of .NET Framework on Windows. But I want to let you know, you're very safe staying on .NET Framework. There's no move or push to move. It will always be on Windows. It's going to always be patched with Windows. It's always going to be supported on Windows. So, you know, if you have an older application you're not updating, you should feel very safe leaving it on .NET Framework. Now, obviously, what we do expect is, you know, if you're building new applications and you want the latest features, then obviously you should be looking at .NET 5 and above, but you are very safe staying in .NET Framework. I want to talk a little bit about how we support releases and patching. So one of the things we started a while ago was we have a very open schedule. So you can see the .NET 5 shipped last November. .NET 6 will ship this November. .NET 7 will ship next the November after that. And so basically every year there's a new .NET. And we do this because we want to make it very easy for you to understand when these are. That's very predictable. Even number releases are long term, which means they have longer support. And the odd number releases are what we call current, and they don't have as long a support. And we do this because for our team, it's expensive to keep a lot of long-term support releases around. Now, the LTS releases, they get patched for 3 years as opposed to 15 months for a current release. Now, I will tell you, one of our jobs in the .NET team is going to be to make it very easy for you to move from a .NET 5 to a .NET 6. So it should not be like in the past of .NET Framework 2 to 4 or something like that. This is, we mean this to be something that could be like a 10-minute upgrade for you to move. So it shouldn't be hard to stay on the latest versions of .NET. Even if you download like .NET 5, if you want to remain supported, you have to be on our latest patch release. And the slide just showed, you can see that we're currently on 5.0.3. So the reason I kind of say you should always be on the latest version is because in modern software, you know, we're patching the frameworks every month anyways. And so for you to be secure and you know, have the least amount of bugs, you should be grabbing our patches and redeploying your applications as often as possible. Something else that we've heard from customers is, well, I'm only going to stay on an LTS release because it's a higher quality release. That is not the case. An LTS release and a current release, the releases have exactly the same quality. We patch them exactly the same way. They're equivalent. So you shouldn't skip a current release because you're afraid that it's got lower quality than an LTS release. We treat all .NETs exactly the same. It's just that for the even numbered releases, they have a longer support period. But as I said, we're going to make it as easy as possible to move between .NETs. And so, you know, you've got a window of a couple of months after we ship .NET 6 to move your 5 applications to .NET 6 and stay on that same support. The big thing here is, you know, with side-by-side and self-contained, we're giving you the choice. So if you want to build a new application using a .NET 6 preview today, you can do that and put it on a machine. It will not affect a .NET 5 application at all. So that's part of our goal here, is to give you all the control versus us having to force something on you. Something else that might be super exciting, if you're a .NET Framework customer and you've been very used to having .NET Framework being updated via Windows, starting this last December, we've added support to Microsoft Update, not Windows Update. It's Microsoft Update because .NET is not part of Windows anymore, so it can't be the Windows Update. It has to be the Microsoft Update. And currently, we are patching .NET Core 2.1, 3.1, and .NET 5, all the currently supported versions via Microsoft Update. It happens in place, and your applications can roll forward to the new version automatically. It only applies if you put .NET globally on the machine. So if you build a self-contained application like Ollie and I showed earlier, it won't get patched because you put your .NET in the application. But the thing is, if you're used to the old .NET framework way, at least on the Windows operating system, we're giving that same capability again. Now let's talk about the Windows developer landscape today. We have built a lot of different app models. If you look here, we have Windows Forms. It was the first .NET desktop app model. And it primarily focused on what you see is what you get. You've got a designer, you drag your controls to it, you put them at the exact pixel you want them at, you run it, it looks just like that. And it's a great platform. It's got great support today. You know, you saw us demo this today. And then in 2006, we came out with Windows Presentation Frame Foundation, or WPF. And this introduced XAML. And XAML was a markup language. Instead of having a what you see is what you get designer like WinForms had, we still have a designer, but it actually, instead of writing code, it's actually writing a markup language. And Dimitri was showing earlier how you could edit that markup language live in Visual Studio. And it brought a lot of multimedia capabilities. You know, WinForms was primarily forms over data. WPF let you draw, you know, all kinds of good stuff. You saw Baby Smash. It had, you know, crazy fonts and all these objects and stuff on the screen. So WPF gave you a lot more capabilities there. And then in 2015, we released UWP, or Universal Windows Platform, and it was a new flavor of XAML that also worked across various devices like Xbox and HoloLens. So it gave you, you could build an application and worked on more than one Windows device type. And then last year, we introduced something called Project Reunion. That's a code word. It'll change before we actually ship it. And in some ways, it encompasses all of these things. You know, if you're building a Windows application, well, one of your challenges is, what version of Windows do you want to target? I want to use the latest feature. Like, I want to go get the battery status and show it in my application. How do I do that? Well, dang, I don't want to do that because that means I can only run on the version of Windows 10 that shipped 6 months ago. Well, the goal of Project Reunion is to let us ship all of those capabilities, including WinUI, which is the next version of UWP. But in this case, we ship all of those components as a package, which means you don't have that compatibility problem anymore. Your application now can bring all of that tech with it, and meaning that you can utilize the latest Windows features all the way back even to something like Windows 10 RS5. And so we think it's going to be an exciting thing, and WinForms works in it, WPF works in it, UWP via WinUI will work in it, and we hope it'll help you build better applications because they're no longer tied to a particular version of Windows. This is very similar to what we've done in .NET Core and .NET 5, where because we can do side by side, you're no longer tied the same way. So that's exciting. You'll see more about that this year. Now, going forward, what are we going to do? We announced this last year. This is .NET multi-platform app UI, and this is going to be built into .NET 6. And what this is this is a cross-platform native UI framework that enables you to basically abstract away the underlying operating systems. As you can see here, for a Windows device, we will actually use WinUI. That's the newest version of UWP to render pixels. If you're on a Mac, we'll use Mac Catalyst. And that's super exciting because that lets you actually take an iOS application and run it on the Mac. So once you build a .NET multi-platform app for iOS or Mac, literally it's the same app that can run both on the iOS devices and on the Mac. And then of course on Android, we work on the Android native UI stacks. This is also based on a single project system, meaning that you don't have to have a iOS app and a Mac app and an iOS, you have one project, and that one project can be deployed to all of these various devices using a single code base. And finally, the big thing is this is gonna start happening in .NET 6 RTM. We'll have some previews along the way. It's not in the first preview of .NET 6, but it will be coming in future previews. Another thing I should say here is this is actually we took Xamarin and we merged it into this. This is the next generation of Xamarin, meant to go across all the devices, single project, and it's part of .NET 6, so it feels part of the family. And so super excited about this tech. Now, there's something else that we're doing that's pretty cool too. Everybody is probably familiar with Electron apps. And if you don't know what an Electron application is, that's kind of a web app that runs the desktop application. And things that you might think about and see today would be, who's used VS Code? Well, VS Code is actually an Electron application. If you've used Spotify, if you use Slack, there's a ton of these things. If you use Microsoft Teams that do this. And we want to enable you to build these types of applications using .NET as well. And so, of course, what we're going to do is we're going to take Blazor. That's our web application framework that lets you run you can write a full web application without any JavaScript or, in your application. You can use C# everywhere. And so the primary benefit of this is it lets you write the UI one time. And because it's web, web looks the same on a Mac. It looks the same on a Windows PC. And so you can reuse that across those things. Now, this thing is actually built on top of .NET multi-platform app UI. And so this is basically, think of this as a UI application. And what we're going to do is we're going to stick a Blazor tag inside of that the XAML that you have. And that's going to enable you to embed a Blazor application inside of one of these applications. Now, the cool thing about this is because it's running in a native container, it means you have access to the full machine. So if you build a Blazor application today, it's a web app. Even if you build a Blazor WebAssembly application, it's still a web app. It's running inside the context of the browser, which means it can't talk to the file system. It can't talk to the full network stack. It can't do all those things. The benefit of building a web app that runs as a desktop application is it can talk to anything. And we've had customers already that have taken Blazor, wrapped it in a desktop application, and used it to talk to things like cash registers. So it's pretty cool tech. You can also, if you wish to, you can embed native controls too. So if you want to put real WinUI controls inside of that application, you could. Some Blazor web and a WinUI control. And once again, this is going to ship in .NET 6. And you're going to see here on the bottom of the slide, primarily we're targeting desktop for this. So in the first wave of .NET 6, we're going to go for the Windows desktop and the Mac desktop for this capability. Now, I'm going to switch to my laptop here. And I'm going to show you one of these types of applications. This is just a preview. This will show up in a later version of the .NET 6 previews. And let me just double check here that I'm good, I'm showing. Okay, so what I've got here is, first of all, I'm going to start with a Blazor app. So this is a regular Blazor application. If I run it, it does exactly what you would expect. My browser pops up, I'm inside of my browser, and I can do this, and this is the default Blazor template. Now, as I said before, this is a Blazor app. It's running in the web browser. It can't talk to my entire machine. Now, what I'm gonna do next is I'm gonna switch to this application, and let's look over here, and it's a little different. Now, this is using this is before we actually have the full MAUI support or .NET multi-platform app UI support for this. And so I've got a Windows app, I've got a Mac app. Before we ship .NET 6, this will all merge into a single project. And then I've got my Blazor app here as well. And so this is pretty cool. I'm gonna run it now. And unlike the browser, now you're seeing this show up as a desktop application. This is a real Windows app. It's not, you know, it is a Windows app. It still looks just like that Blazor app before. It's got all the same capabilities. It works the same way, does all the things you would expect. But because it's a native application, it has access to my entire machine. It's no different than a WinForm app or a WPF app. It just means it can share some of this UI because it's actually got Blazor inside of it. So you can use web to write some of your UI. And if I wanted to, I could actually put some native UI in here. I'm not going to do this for this demo. We'll definitely have some videos when we get to the .NET 6 previews that show this. But I wanted to just give you a quick preview of what this could look like and why you might be interested in doing this. And as I said, we have customers doing this today. So this is something's pretty cool. So if we can, let's switch back to my main machine, Jeff. Cool. And let's talk about, we just shipped .NET 6 Preview 1. And one of the cool things we've added here is ARM64 support for Windows Forms and WPF. And so for the first time ever, you can build a native desktop application using all the tech we've shown today, and it will run on any of the ARM64 Windows devices like the Surface X. And this is important because we want you to be able to build .NET applications that run on all devices and don't have to run through emulators and stuff like this. .NET 6 also has continued performance improvements. You know, as I said, performance is a key part of .NET. We keep making it better and better and better. We have accessibility improvements, more productivity tools. Go to the link here below. We have a huge blog post that has tons of information of all the stuff in the first preview, but there are more exciting previews to come as we move forward. Today's going to be an exciting day. We've got all kinds of cool agenda. You know, Alia showed earlier how we could upgrade a .NET Framework application to a .NET 5 application. Kathy's going to come on and show a lot of lot deeper dive of that. And she's going to show a more complicated app that doesn't port as easy. What we showed was kind of simple. She's going to show how you fix those things after it doesn't fix everything. We've got Kathleen and Klaus going to come on and talk about Visual Basic. We mentioned Visual Basic is supported for WinForms applications in .NET 5. We got Sam coming on talking about real time. Dimitri, who you just saw before, he's gonna come back and do a deeper dive on all those performance tools. I love that you're gonna see a bunch of folks come on and talk about, you know, WPF and WinForms. They're open source. You can come and actually contribute to these things on GitHub now, and the team's gonna come and show you some of those things as well. I love that Jeremy's going to come on and show how you build these applications and run them on ARM devices. What I just described with .NET 6, you can now take all these desktop apps and run them on a Windows ARM device. Jasmine and Ali are going to come back and talk about Click Once. We showed a little bit of that. They're going to go do a deep dive and show you a lot of that. How do you actually build a Windows app and publish it with GitHub Actions, another cool one. I can't go through all these. Dan Roth, go see Dan Roth. He's going to show that desktop tech much better than I did. Miguel's going to come and talk about Project Reunion. And at the end, you're going to see Maddie and David come and talk about how we build these multi-platform applications with .NET. I want to thank all of our sponsors here. You can see there's a lot of folks here, whether it's the Foundation, Code Magazine, Progress, Infusion, all these folks. Thank you very much for sponsoring .NET Conf. We couldn't do this without you. And I also want to talk about .NET Foundation. These are our corporate sponsors. These are the people that are part of the foundation. And you might be surprised by some of these names. AWS, Amazon's here. You're going to see that we're inviting one of our newest partners as a corporate sponsor of the .NET Foundation. I'm super happy to announce that the UNO platform is now going to be part of this group as well. And if you don't know what UNO is some pretty cool tech. What if you want to take your XAML application and you want to run it in a browser? Maybe your WPF application, maybe your UWP application, and you don't want to make those apps be desktop applications. The UNO platform is some amazing tech that lets you take those types of applications and run them directly in the browser. So if you have an old desktop application and you're looking at moving it to the browser, go look at the UNO platform. And I also want to thank them again for joining this awesome group of folks that help us with the .NET Foundation, which is, you know, one of the open source foundations around .NET. And with that, I want to say thank you for joining us today. Please hang around and check out these other sessions. And we're going to be on Twitter using the hashtag .NETconf. Ask any questions, and myself or the rest of the team will be here to answer those questions. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, Scott, so much good stuff in there for us to learn, to consume about the future of .NET development with Windows. Let me share my screen. We've got a couple of questions that have come up that I know you've got the answer to, and I want to make sure that that we connect and get some folks some answers here. Let me grab this and let's share. Take a look. We have a first question here from Julian Dimitri asking, will .NET 5 be available on Universal Windows Platform?
Yeah, so the question, I think the question there is, am I going to be able to build a UWP application on .NET 5? The next iteration of UWP, Universal Windows Application, these were these applications that you could build using XAML that would run on Windows, they would run on HoloLens and the Xbox. Will .NET 5 be available on the Universal Windows platform? We are going to have WinUI support, which is the next generation of UWP. It'll be shipping later this year, and it will work on .NET 6. So what I would tell you, stay on UWP for now, and if you want to bring your UWP application to all the benefits of the .NET 5, .NET 6 world, there's previews of this available today. The WinUI team will have the next generation. And the big difference there, I should also call out, well, why would you move a UWP application forward? No. UWP had some of those problems that I mentioned on that one Windows platform slide. You had to target a specific version of Windows. Mm. WinUI is very similar to .NET 5 and .NET Core, where you ship it as part of your project or your application, which means it's no longer tied to a particular version. Reunion then brings even more of the APIs available to you. And so I would say wait for WinUI on .NET 6 for that.
Okay. Wait, I have another question here that I want to bring up, and this is coming in from Yaroslav asking, are we planning to bring full XAML 2009 support to WPF with .NET 5?
We've been waiting. I would have to defer that to Dimitri. I'm not sure what XAML 2009 is. The biggest question that we get asked for when it comes down to WPF or UWP is, are we ever going to have a common XAML format that you write the XAML one time, and whether it's a WPF application or a UWP application or a Xamarin application, can you use the exact XAML? And the answer to that is, we looked at doing that years ago. We did make the XAMLs closer together. But trying to consolidate them to be exactly the same across all three of those platforms or app models just never, it didn't pan out.
That's a really hard job to do.
It's a hard job to do.
Yeah.
And it would break compatibility as well. That's the problem there, is by doing it, you know, we'd have various strands of XAML in there.
Let me bring up a question that I'm sure we've gotten once or twice here. Microsoft loves Linux, so multi-platform app UI, we didn't see Linux in the list of supported operating systems there.
Yeah, so we love Linux, and you know, we at other presentations, the microservice presentation, we showed that we now have like 2 million Linux publishes a month for the web stuff. We're just trying to be honest. You know, for us just to get the multi-platform app UI working across iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac is a lot of work to do in .NET 6. We will definitely look at doing Linux next as soon as that's done. But I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I would rather underpromise and overdeliver. And so it is definitely something that we care about, and it'll come down to feedback. I'll be honest with you. This is just an observation. We have had lots of people tell us they want it. They want Linux support. And then we actually asked them in an interview, are you going to really publish to Linux? And they go, well, we'd like to know we could. And so we really need the feedback from the customer saying that you really are going to deploy to Linux. I mean, the Linux desktop space is honestly still about 1.2% of the actual overall desktop market. So it's not a huge market.
And thinking broader about it, we're already talking about bringing app development into .NET 6 for iOS, Android, and Mac. We're going from one platform to four.
Yes.
So that's a big lift in 1 year. And you know what? The one that has the lowest the lowest interest being delayed a little bit, you know what? I think we can live with that.
Yeah. Once again, if we get if the demand is there, we will likely build it.
Cool. And speaking of demand and some new platforms, another question that I think you can help us out with here. Matthew asks, when will we expect to see .NET running on Apple Silicon? .NET 6 looks pretty good.
.NET 6 is the release of .NET that runs on Apple Silicon. So unfortunately for us, Apple Silicon shipped the same month that we shipped .NET 5. And we all got together as a team and said, hey, do we want to go try to shove this in at the last second? And the answer is, that's a mistake. We're not going to do that. And so Apple Silicon is something that we've added that comes as part of .NET 6, which gives us time to bake it in. Actually, we've already looked at this and we have some pretty cool solutions here. I'm super excited about this. If you actually happen to have a Mac and you have .NET 5 and .NET 6 on it, the .NET 5 app will run emulated and the .NET 6 app will run native.
Oh.
And for people that don't know how .NET actually works, there's a single loader that has to figure this stuff out. And so Apple actually has all the right APIs for us where the loader can go, oh, this is a .NET 5 app. I will tell it to reboot it under the emulator. Or this is a .NET 6 app, run it natively on the tech. And so I'm excited about the support we have for Apple Silicon.
That is very cool. Let me give you, we have one more question. I'm going to let Frederick have the last question here for us. If I had to start a new line of business Windows desktop app today, which framework should I choose?
I think that depends on what you're building. If you're doing forms over data, I think WinForms is probably your best still your best app model. Or if you want to go build something, if you do care about multiple platforms, the Blazor desktop work we're doing in .NET 6 is a way there as well, because that application will, it's web UI, which means it won't feel as native, but it means you can write it once and it will work both on the Mac and on the Windows device. But I still think that today, if you're building right now and you're not going to wait till November for us to ship .NET 6, WinForms is probably what I would recommend.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott. Really great stuff. We're going to keep our eyes on Twitter, #.NETConf. We'll catch you throughout the day today with other questions. We'll see folks posting. We're looking forward to a great .NET Conf.
Yeah, me too. Enjoy it.
All righty. We'll catch you later.